a Super Bowl champion.
The Green Bay Packers have won the Super Bowl.
The Packers' all-time leading scorer.
A game winner for Mason Crosby.
It's time for the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch Nellis, presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers, on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook, and on the free Odyssey app.
Hello. This is the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. I'm Mitch Nellis. Tommy Wirtz is here.
What did I miss? What'd you guys do?
I started talking and my mic wasn't on, so like if you're on video, I look like an idiot.
All right. That's all right. Watch us on video. We look like idiots.
Yeah, I didn't look like a chimichanga at least.
I can't wait for this story because it's starting to build, which I like. I was thinking in this break before we go to Grotzky here. Do you think that Eberflus comment I made is the only thing any Chicago Bears fan in the would ever agree that like with me, like would ever side with Mason Crosby, the former Packer?
Depends how much respect you got for Devin Hester.
I have a lot of respect for Devin Hester.
You'd agree on that.
So we'd agree with that.
There's probably some Dan Campbell shade you could both throw.
Okay, so we go to okay. All right. I was just wondering if any Bears fan would ever agree with anything that I felt or said.
It's few and far between.
Okay.
And I think you found one of them.
Yeah, I found one.
Yeah,
one of the few.
Yeah. Mace, how you doing, bud?
I'm good, man. I'm ready.
Yeah.
Molly brought me some food.
What'd you get?
We had a brisket sent to us from a friend from Texas over the holidays.
I'll see you later.
Yeah. So I cooked that up a couple days ago. So we've been just eating off of that. So she made me like a scrambled egg brisket with some veggies and things. What a great wife. Thank you, Molly. If you're listening, you're the best wife in the world.
She is.
You're the best wife I've ever had.
She better be. All right. Joining us now on the Mason Crosby Show on the guest hotline powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Our good friend from CBS 58 in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He is the one, the only Scott Grodzki. Good day to you, Mr. Scott.
Good day, guys. I'm pretty sure that if a Bears fan is going to agree with you, Mason, it'd be not as like former Packers kicker Mason Crosby. It'd be, Colorado kicker.
Okay.
Like that.
There you go. Yeah, they couldn't agree with me as a Packer, right?
No. Yeah. No, but the Buffaloes are fine. No. They're harmless. It's not.
They're harmless.
A rivalry there.
They're harmless.
Michael chimes.
I meant they're harmless to Chicago fans.
Oh, I know what you mean.
This is like we had this argument maybe a month into our show of would a Golden Eagle or a Buffalo win in a fight or something, right?
We had all the mascots. It was would a Badger.
That's what it was. It was a Badger versus a Golden Eagle, and then Buffalo got
one. Would be a tough one to beat.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially because there's usually more than one. They're going to just, trample you.
Or just sit on you. Just sit on you. Michael's on YouTube, and he says, I'll agree with you, Mason. Michael's a Bears fan. He says, Eberflus sucked.
All right. Yeah, thank you, Michael.
Michael's got you.
We can agree on that.
Yeah. Scott, Packers-Bears week, round three. Ding, ding. Let's go.
Yeah, I can't believe we're getting another one. It's for all the incredible chapters of this rivalry, it's pretty ridiculous that this is, the third time in the playoffs? And the second time in the playoffs of a modern era.
Yeah, that is crazy. It went really well for the Packers the last time, which I remember fondly. What are you looking for in this game? what do you think? We've been on will Matt LaFleur and Goody get extended in the first hour, but we're going to dive into this game. So what are you eyeing in this game that gives this Packers team a chance to go there and Soldier Field and get a win?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at the history of the, not just the rivalry, but this year, I don't know how you could look at this and not think either team has a chance to win. It's about as evenly matched as I would think it could be, especially with Parsons out, because that was a huge difference for Green Bay. I think for the Packers, it's really all going to be about can they keep it together for four quarters, and will the fourth quarter be a disaster like it was a few weeks ago, or will it be something they can survive and get through. The Bears certainly have flaws. They are the two seed. They won the division. They get a lot of credit for both of those things, especially in the first year under a head coach. But, they're not the Seahawks, and they're not a team without flaws. They have very serious issues. They showed them against Detroit. They've showed them in both games against Green Bay. And it's just a matter of the whole cardiac Bears thing in the fourth quarter
yeah.
if they can avoid that.
That's that was what I was going to say, is like this team is so interesting. I mean, they were down 16-0 to the Lions and came back and tied that thing up, and like they are a team that is resilient and going to go. Like, is there a strategy where maybe you let them get a little lead and then they kind of relax and then you can jump
not,
on them?
Mace, you're not wrong. Like, there's part of me that thinks no one needs to watch the first 53 minutes of this game, because the Packers will be up by a little bit, and it's going to come down to, will Caleb Williams make the play
can
or not?
Yeah.
And
can
that's it. Come?
Yeah, exactly. That's well, been their recipe this whole year.
If the Packers' strategy is to spot the Bears a lead, then yeah, you can start talking about firing Matt LaFleur.
Okay. All right. So that's a strategy that we shouldn't should not expect on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think you avoid that. But yeah, I mean, it's there's certainly not going to be any point where if the Packers are up 14-0, 21-7, there's no point where you're going to feel confident and feel like, all right, this is done. And maybe that's a good thing. Maybe if they would have been more conscious of how much of a comeback team this Bears squad is 3 weeks ago, maybe they don't lose that game. I don't know. I don't know what's going on in the heads of the players or coaches or anything like that, but it was certainly a very clear lesson to them 3 weeks ago of what can happen if you do take your foot off the gas. So maybe that's something that ends up being a big boost in this game, is that if they are up, it doesn't have that switch that changes to, oh God, here come the Bears, and the Packers are doing nothing to stop it.
Well, we talked about that too. I think it was Ryan Wood yesterday was saying that.
The Woodpecker.
If can Ben Johnson just stick to the run and not, like, you know, try to get too creative and do all of that. And so is that the interesting thing? If they have a lead, does he still try to open it up? And then all of a sudden, bad things happen. Caleb Williams makes a mistake, and you're able to jump on him and have some big momentum shifts, because it just feels like this team, when they are behind, they are hungry, and they find a way to get back in game. So we talked about it before you came on. Do you think that the Packers should defer or take the ball if they win the coin toss to start this game?
I don't mind deferring. I know LaFleur likes taking the ball a decent amount. I guess I haven't really thought about it too much, but I don't mind deferring and having more of a second crack at it and letting the Bears offense get out there right away. I feel like if the Bears do score on the opening drive, it's not the end of the world. But I think if the Packers get the ball first, don't really move the ball at all after 2 weeks of not having their quarterback, I wouldn't want momentum to build or snowball in a negative direction for a team that is coming off of essentially a bye week. I think, like most things that we talk about, of you know, is momentum good or would you rather have rest? You can frame it to promote whatever point you want. So I don't think it's going to be end of the world whatever happens on the first drive. But I guess if it was me, I would defer.
Yeah, Scott, I do want to ask that question, because that's been a big talk. And, like, is this a chance for this team to just reset, right? It's like everything that happened regular season, you lose on Micah Parsons. These last 4 weeks have been a little disjointed. Having that Vikings game and sitting guys and saying, like, all right, we're starting this playoff season now. Do you think can bolster this team to some success against the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, I mean, I think it has to. I think that's your only choice, because if we're going into it as we're on a four-game losing streak. And
I like that. No options. Like flies, only choice.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, I mean, if you're going into it with the four-game losing streak and guys dropping like flies, you're in trouble. But if you can go into it as, all right, we had a reset. Ben Johnson made it very clear that it was important that they weren't going to rest their guys, because they don't do that. Not that there's any reason why they would have done that.
They play football in Chicago.
Say that. Yeah, and everyone plays football when you're playing for the two seed, and there's a reason to. Yeah. But, you know, sure, good for him. I think you have to look at it as you got a reset. You got pretty much everyone who gets major snaps on this team got a break, and you have to hope that is, you know, the right strategy. It was a very painful lesson last year when Christian Watson tore his ACL and was out for, obviously, the playoffs and the first half of this season. You know, and the hope is that rest doesn't lead to rust. And It can sometimes. Usually if you're talking 1 week, I'm not super concerned about that. I kind of would have wanted to see Jordan Love play a couple of series, but I understand also if you're giving the offensive line rest, you're definitely not putting him behind that offensive line that played in Minnesota.
No, I totally agree. We got Scott Grodzki on the Mason Crosby Show. He's the anchor at CBS 58. What do you expect from Jordan Love? Do you expect him to have a heavy dose of running the ball, trying to just control the clock, or do you think LaFleur comes out firing? Just Love has to be, the healthiest he's been. His head's clear now after the concussion protocol. Like, what do you see this offense doing in this game against the Bears?
Yeah, I think you come into it like a normal strategy, normal game plan. I don't think that the concussion at this point matters. Obviously, you want to be worried long-term health for anyone who has concussions, but he's cleared. He's been cleared for over a week by the time the game happens. The minor shoulder injury is off throwing arm and didn't seem like that big of a deal anyway. I think that, LaFleur, whether he goes heavy run, heavy pass, it's going to be based on what he thinks is the best game plan, not based on I need to protect Jordan Love or I need to protect Josh Jacobs. I think if they're out there, they've got to be ready to be out there for real. I guess to me, Jacobs is more of a concern than Love, because I think Love's injury stuff is as in the past as it can be in week 19 of an NFL season. Jacobs' stuff continues to be there. But obviously he's going to go. And, if he does get banged up more, Emmanuel Wilson has proven he can play pretty well and back up as long as he's not running 18 yards behind the line of scrimmage.
That was special. And the
Brosmer fumble were two special plays from a special preseason game in week 18. But anyway, going back to your point, I think that you have to be looking at this game as you can open the playbook to whatever you want it to. And if LaFleur decides that running the ball to keep Caleb Williams off the field is the best option, then fine, you do it. But if you're looking at this game plan as the best way to beat the Bears is Jordan Love throws the ball 40 times, then Jordan Love's got to be ready to throw the ball 40 times.
Scott Grodzki, CBS 58 in Milwaukee, joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show. You can follow him on Twitter at Scott Grodzki. Scott, I have a question for you that I think we might talk a little bit more about later on in the show, but wanted to give a little bit of a taste of it. You brought up Josh Jacobs, and we already know that the answer is probably overwhelmingly Jordan Love. But after that, who is the guy that you have the most confidence in to show up on Saturday against the Bears? I think everyone would say Jordan Love if you had to pick one, but after that, there is no Micah Parsons left. There's no Devontae Wyatt. There's no Tucker Kraft. Who's the next guy that can help Jordan Love on either side of the ball more to take some of this pressure off going up against Chicago this Saturday?
Rashawn Gary.
Oh, gosh, what? Stop.
Then the game's over. Then they've lost.
Yeah, sorry. I just wanted to have a little fun there.
This guy.
I'll go All home. Right, Scott, I'll go home right now, bro.
And now we break.
I don't know. I think defensively, Xavier McKinney obviously is a veteran who you're going to need to rely on in this game, especially if they're trying to protect a lead late in the fourth quarter. I really want to see what Christian Watson can do. Obviously, he was out of the playoffs last year, but he is a massive, massive weapon who has come up with some big catches at big times. I think, barring an onside kick recovery, Romeo Doubs is also in that category of someone who's been able to make plays when it counts. So I think those are guys I'd be looking at. And then, on the flip side, the guys you don't necessarily trust, like Rashawn Gary, if he can have a game like he did the first 7 weeks when Parsons was out there, that could be massive. I mean, if they can get anything from him, Enagbare, Lucas Van Ness, they need to get something on the pass rush without sacrificing everything in the back end on coverage.
I think the last time we saw a production out of Rashawn Gary, he was teammates with Mason Crosby at this point.
Long time ago. Yeah, that's interesting. But, I mean, I think that's the issue with Rashawn Gary is not that he, just makes mistakes. It's not like he's a liability out there, but he makes $24 million or whatever. And he's just not making, plays a significant amount of time and doing the job at a high level. And I think those are some of the big things. It's sometimes that price tag with no splash And then the effort. The effort for me is always the big thing. Yeah, so what do you think? Do you think we'll see a heavy dose? Do you think Trayvon Diggs is going to get some serious action in this game, whether he plays inside in the slot at times, or do you think he's going to replace Valentine on the edge?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think they're going to full-fledged replace Valentine, but I wouldn't be shocked if he gets some reps in there, and I guess we'll see how the game goes.
He can tackle maybe, at least.
Yeah, maybe it's Valentine with a short leash. I don't know that you want to completely wholesale change something for a guy who, obviously, Trayvon Diggs has all the tools and has been an all-world cornerback, but he sure hasn't been this year. He looked fine against the Vikings, though, so I don't know. I think that's something that could be dependent on how the game is going and how Valentine and anyone else who's in there is doing, and maybe it's a, you know, break glass in case of emergency or a little less than an emergency. I'd be surprised if he's not active, I can tell you that.
What other games? I'm just kind of moving into this wild card weekend. What other games are...
Excuse me, Mason Crosby. That is super wild
super
card
Super wild
weekend.
Card, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Is there a slime game? Is there a Nickelodeon slime game this weekend?
Oh. It's whatever the AFC South wants it to be.
Right, probably. The Houston Texans.
Yeah, exactly. So are there any games, other games this weekend that, kind of get you curious and you're interested in watching?
Yeah, no, whichever ones are on CBS 58. Those are definitely.
There it is. Nice. Yeah. That was a nice plug. I gave you, I teed you up for that one.
I don't even know which games are on our network yet. Don't repeat that to anyone.
Yeah,
on radio.
Exactly.
To me, I think the 3-6 games in both conferences are the ones that are the most interesting. I think the Eagles and 49ers, I don't know what to think of the 49ers after the offensive explosion but no defense against the Bears and then the flip side against the Seahawks. All I know is as long as the 49ers are relatively healthy offensively, obviously they're not defensively, they're a scary team, and the Eagles are the defending champions. So that is a very interesting game to me. And then Jaguars-Bills.
Jaguars-Bills, Scott Grodzki, by the way, Sunday at noon on CBS 58.
Nice. There it is.
Nice. Bills-Jaguars.
There you go.
Yep, there
perfect.
You go.
Didn't even have to try. To me, that's a great game. That's a great, hopefully it should be a fun offensive game to watch. I think that, the Bills have not been anywhere near as scary as they were supposed to be. But the Bills were, with the Ravens and Chiefs, they were the three AFC favorites coming in. They're the only one that's still there. The Jaguars are a very interesting up-and-coming story with Trevor Lawrence being as good as anyone in the NFL for the last 3 months. I wouldn't be shocked if the Super Bowl teams came out of both of these 3-6 games.
Wow. Hmm, interesting. I like that take, Scott. Wow.
Scott, if you could pick a quarterback today, Justin Herbert or Trevor Lawrence, who are you picking?
Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me, Tommy? Are we literally like the same brain now after two? Like, because I literally was about to ask the exact same question.
Yeah, we're
fully
married.
Healthy,
what
Justin
is,
Herbert, Trevor
what
Lawrence.
What is this show? The teal is for real. The teal is for real.
Well, Scott, this is an important question.
We got the fully healthy part for Justin Herbert because he is the hypothetical best quarterback in the NFL.
Oh.
Yeah, I would take Lawrence. I would take Lawrence in a second.
Oh, what?
Yes! Come on.
Come on, Scott. I thought we were friends.
That was awesome, Scott. Worth it.
Worth it.
Gotcha.
Oh, man. Whenever the Chargers are in the Super Bowl, you'll all be eating crow.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Sure. Tommy, what a troll.
Tastes like chicken.
All right, Scott, what's your prediction for this game this weekend? Do you think the Packers can pull it off?
Yeah, I do. I think they can pull it off, and I think that, until the Bears actually do it in the playoffs, I'm not going to trust the Bears to do it in the playoffs. So I think they win. I think it's close. I think it's close all the way, but I think, I don't know, we'll say 24-20, something like that.
Okay. All nice. Right. Well, I appreciate you, Scott. You got anything else, fellas?
We're not really talking Bucks, but I know that, as the Packers season winds to an end, it'll be, all Giannis all the time and Bucks watch as well. And Daniel Vogelbach, I'm sure you'll have a special on him coming up soon.
Are you buying this transfer portal class this year for the Badgers, Scott?
No, I'm not going to buy any transfer portal class for the Badgers until they have one that works.
Yeah, also, that is correct.
I mean, as much as it hasn't worked, the quarterback injuries obviously are a huge part of that. But until they have a year where they're even half of what they were nationally for 20 years, it's hard to say that, yeah, I think this is going to be the one where they go, you know, 10-2 or whatever.
All right.
Love it.
All right. Scott, anything you want to plug coming up on CBS 58 in the next couple of days?
Oh, you got a little bit into basketball there. We got a feature with Pat Connaughton, Aaron, tonight. Okay. So that'll be good to do. And then the rest of it, you know, this whole week is, who are we kidding? As much as I like the NBA and some of the other stuff that's going on in our area and even college basketball, this whole week is about Bears Packers, and everyone knows it.
Absolutely. He is Scott Grodzki, sports reporter, anchor for CBS 58 in Milwaukee. Scott, thanks so much for jumping on today.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely. Scott Grodzki joining us on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all. Mason, Saturday, chance for rain and snow, breezy in the afternoon into the evening in Chicago. High of 37 during the day, low of 26. So I would guess that would mean
that's not too bad.
High 20s, maybe low 30s for the game. Yeah. Man, I don't know. I love weather games, but I'm not sure that helps the Packers in this
one.
No,
way. I don't think you want that It's going to be a little windy. I saw like 15 to 25, yep, so like special teams are going to play a factor there.
Well, that's bad.
Did I just see this right on Potawatomi's website that they literally have the line at zero?
Zero now, yep, they do.
That is crazy. Mm-hmm. Like, when was the last time? Like, that does not happen very often, right?
No, and I bet you by Thursday it moves in one direction at least.
You say that, but ESPN Bet right now has the Packers -1.5.
No, that's what I was saying. I looked at ESPN and then I looked at Potawatomi and I was like, wow. So the ESPN has Packers favored.
And then, the Bears were favored by a point yesterday, right?
It's moving.
Man. Moving.
Man, nobody believes in the Bears in the playoffs. I love it. I love it. Why would you? This is the Mason Crosby Show presented by Verizon, the official 5G network of the Green Bay Packers. More Packers-Bears talk. Who is the most important player on the field not named Jordan Love Saturday night? And why is Tommy so awesome? All that and more coming up on the Mason Crosby Show.